Well, good evening to you. Nice to be with you again. And thanks very much for the invitation to come. And thanks for coming tonight to hear the Word of God. We're going to turn to Philippians, please, in chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We'll read from verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. The Lord would bless the public reading of His Word. Now you may know that this epistle is full of encouragement. I love this epistle. It's like the Song of Solomon of the New Testament. I love Song of Solomon of the Old Testament. But it's full of encouragement and it's full of joy. Even in times of trouble and times of tears and times of trial, it's full of joy. No matter what circumstance you find yourself in, no matter how low you may be in despair and despondency, it's lovely just to know that you can find strength and you can find joy in the things, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So when you look at this book, the first chapter would even tell us, it speaks of a joy in spite of the place that you find yourself in. It's not worship. And here, Paul was actually in prison. He's chained to a soldier 24 hours a day. In spite of the place that he was in, he could still find joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. They spoke about the man's testimony because he said this, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." When you go to chapter 2, you discover again it's joy. And right through the whole epistle, you will find at least 16 times, over 10 times, the word joy is found. And also the word rejoice. And so about 16 times you will find that this word joy is found. But joy in spite of the place that you are in chapter 1. But joy, listen to this, in spite of the people that you are with. In spite of the people that you are with. And no matter what your background may be, no matter what circumstances you're in, no matter the people that you're with, he points to the Lord Jesus Christ again, and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He said, you can have that unity. You can have that joy. Even although there's trouble within your assembly, there's still a joy to be gotten. It's only to be found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So joy in spite of the place that you're in, and joy in spite of the people that you are with. Then when you come to chapter 3, this portion of scripture which we have considered, just this portion itself, you'll find joy in spite of the person that you are. Now, there's something. In spite of the person that you are, here in this epistle, it's the only place where you'll find a great detail that's given of the Lord, the Apostle Paul himself, of his life, an autobiography of the life of Paul himself. He expresses how he lived in the past, and how he gloried even in the past. But he says, I count all things but loss, just to win and to gain Christ. And so in spite of the person that I am, and all the problems that I have, I can still find that joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in chapter 1 he would speak about his testimony. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Oh, that's a thing I would urge everyone, and I would desire above everything just to live Christ. In chapter 2 it speaks of his temperament, because he's with others and he has to deal with the others, he has to get on with the others, and unity itself. So it's his temperament. But here you will find here is his treasure. His treasure. I count all things as Christ as his treasure. All things loss, even dung, that I may win and gain Christ. My. It's the person that he is. Then when you come to chapter 4, you will find that in spite, you can find joy in spite of the problems that you have. It's Eunice in Syntyche at the very first verse. There's a wee bit disunity here. There's a wee bit problem coming into the assembly. And how do you deal with it? He says, rejoice. I say again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. So if you have his testimony in chapter 1, if you have truly his temperament in chapter 2, you have his treasure in chapter 3, here you have something of his triumph. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. The great passion is to live Christ, for me to live as Christ. I think it's wonderful to think that you can sing these lovely words, the half has not been told, because we're aiming to be in the presence of the Lord himself when the Lord comes back again to take us to be with himself. And that, what a day that shall be when my Saviour I shall see. So the three things I want to consider tonight, and it's simply this. From these verses that we've read, you'll see that brethren begins with a capital B. But it means anyone who belongs to Christ. Anyone who belongs to Christ. Now I want you to think that Paul was a man who told us through his own experience and through his own life and testimony that we should forget the things which are behind. Now you've heard the saying, and a preacher has said it in the past, that Paul had some behind. And Paul had some behind itself. I thank my God, he says at the very first chapter, for every remembrance of you, my. He just loved this assembly. He loved all God's people. But he was exhorting them simply to forget all that was behind. All that was behind. Now you never forget everything, do you? I have never forgotten. Never forgotten the day and the hour when I came to know Christ as my own personal Saviour. Never forgotten all the blessings that God has given me over nearly 56 years in Christ. Never forgotten all the events that's taking place within my life. All the milestones that I've come across. All the evil things that's been done, as well as all the good things. I never forget these things. Never. And I suppose that you're the same. We're human. You belong to Christ, and Paul would say, I would exhort you to forget. To forget. Is that what he means, to forget all these things in the past? Is that what he means? He says, I thank my God for every remembrance of you. He says to remember there. He remembered them. And we could go into the background of how he came to this Philippian church and this Philippian assembly. I thank my God for every remembrance of you. I remember I was just a wee boy, age 4 and 5, I remember. When I was only about age 4 or 5, we were going to the exotic place in Scotland. You know where it was? Portobello. There were 8 buses went from our street, double-deckers, and they were all full. I remember that the beach was chock-a-block, it was a scorcher of a day. And I was sitting with my aunt and with my mother. And there I was, and I wanted to go into the water, so they stripped me down and I went into the water. And I was chock-a-block even in the water, and I was hitting against this leg and that leg, and I was splashing up in the water. I was enjoying myself thoroughly. That was just last week. And it was wonderful when I come back out again, because I couldn't find my mother. And I started crying, and I said, where's my mammy? Couldn't find her. And being a very intelligent child then, you know, I made my way, it wasn't far, just up the beach to the promenade to look for the buses that we came in. I just reached the promenade and people were stopping me. It was chock-a-block, as I said. And they were saying, what's wrong, son? I says, where's my mammy? And couldn't find her. And then suddenly when I reached the promenade, a big hand came on my shoulder and I turned round. It was a policeman. He says, are you Willie McKellar? I says, "Where's my mammy?" And he took me up on his shoulders and he marched me back to this office. Not a police station, but an office that was there on the promenade. My mother was just sitting waiting. And she ran towards me. Across the floor I ran towards her. And she lifted me up and she gave me a skelp in the ear. You know what she said? She just hugged me to herself and she said, "My, thank God you're safe. Thank God you're safe." And the great joy that burst the heart of this man, Paul, was, "Thank God for every remembrance of you." He remembered that day, the Philippian jailer, the woman who was possessed by demons itself, the woman Lydia, who came to know the Lord. My, that assembly was made up from the strata of society. And they all came together in union. And they all knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he says, "I remember." Now he says, "Forget." Forget. Is that really, had we to forget? No. I believe he's talking about the things that affect your step in the present day. Forget them. Forget them. Because when he begins to write his autobiography, he said this. He says, "I thank my God for every remembrance you," but forgetting, Paul, could mean simply either his own pre-Christian life, or it could mean simply the previous progress in his Christian steps that he took in Christ. Forget your past sins. Forget your past sins. Look at that list where it says simply that we should forget. He was circumcised the eighth day. My. He was not only forgetting his past sins, which was going to affect the present. He was forgetting his past successes. His past successes. Circumcised the eighth day. Now, why the eighth day? That's a Jewish child was circumcised the eighth day. He wasn't an Ishmaelite who was circumcised the 15th day. He wasn't a proselyte. He was telling me he was a true Jew, a male Jew, and he had to be circumcised. Proud of that ritual. Then he said this, and simply, of the stock of Israel. He was very proud of his relationship of the stock of Israel. He was proud because of his respectability of the tribe of Benjamin. It ranked high among the tribes, the tribe of Benjamin. Some of the kings came from the tribe of Benjamin. Then he says, a Hebrew of the Hebrew. He was proud of his race. Hebrew of the Hebrew. Then touching the law, a Pharisee, proud of his religion. Then he says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, proud of his reputation. Touching the righteousness of the law, blameless, proud of his righteousness. My. The scriptures would say simply that we forget our sins of the past, which are going to affect us in the present. And man, many a time when I've been living this Christian life and trying to live the best that I possibly could, I've looked back in the past, I've even been offended in the past. You know this, if I dwell upon it, it trips me up. It hinders me and it keeps me back. And all the faults and all the failings of others, not myself, but of others, I feel it keeps me back. If I dwell upon my own sins, my, it would knock me down. It would knock me down. And Paul says, forget those things. Forget those sins of the past. I know that we have been saved from our sins. I know that we've been cleansed from our sins. Thank God for that. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has washed us and cleansed us. But what about all these successes in our lives itself? Failures in the past, faults in the past, hinders us. All these successes don't really help us in our spiritual life, you know. And Paul says, oh, forget those things which are truly behind. Those things which were gained to me, he says, I counted. That's what he says. I counted. That's in the past. I counted them loss to gain Christ. Then he uses a word in the present and he simply says further down the chapter, I count all things loss. If you go through the book of Philippians, you'll discover that things is mentioned at least 11 times. He wants you to disregard all these things that would keep you back from Christ and the things of Christ. A Sunday school teacher once was trying to impress upon a class about the woman that looked back and turned into a pillar of salt, Lot's wife. The wee girl quickly put up her hand and she said, "My father did better than that. When he was driving the car, he looked back and turned into a lamppost." And so in a sense, let us never look back. Did the Lord not say himself, when you put your hand to the plough and you look back, my, what damage it does. What damage. And it's hard to do that. It's hard to concentrate all your energies and all your efforts upon the things of Christ. If you look back, it hinders you. So Paul would say simply, forget the things which are behind. Let us lay aside every weight of sin which doth easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. That's the word of the Hebrews. It may have been Paul that wrote that. I'm not going to be dogmatic about it, but it was Paul. The Hebrew epistle, when he said, let us lay aside. So forget those things which are behind, but we should not only forget the things which are behind, but we should foresee the things which are before. The things which are before. The Buddha says, "Ye doubtless and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have counted the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And this one thing I do." He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You see it? "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And I've written down this wee hymn which I copied out of a book, and it said this: "Once it was blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was feeling, now it is His word. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone." That's lovely, isn't it? You see, the aim of Paul was simply to press, to reach forward. Reach forward. Always reach forward to the things which were before. To the prize of the high calling of God. You see, the high calling of God is always associated, the callings of God are always associated within the New Testament, always to do with the present. You'll note that if you go through it. Because the high calling of God is to do with the present, not the future. The holy calling of God, that's to do with the present. The heavenly calling of God, that's to do with the present. I know that one day there's going to receive a prize and a reward. One day in the future we're going to be with Christ. One day the churches, the seven churches in Revelation, are going to receive a reward, those who are commended. Why? It can be won, it can be earned. But I believe this, it's misunderstood, this text. And this is the reasons why Paul says, it's the high calling. You're making the ascent. But it's day by day and moment by moment and step by step. That's the prize. That's the prize. It's Christ in you and with you. You see it? It's like Columbus when he was going towards the Mediterranean, the mouth of the Mediterranean, and he believed that the world was flat, and the man up in the crow used to shout, "Ne plus ultra, there's nothing beyond that. Turn back. Ne plus ultra. Nothing beyond." And then when they reached that horizon at the mouth of the Mediterranean, what happened? There was another horizon. Then when they reached that horizon, there was another horizon. And so it went on until they reached the Americas. Aye. And that's what Paul means here. Foresee the things which are before you, all the eventualities of life and all the responsibilities of life, and meet that which is facing you there and then. And this journey on life, you know and I know well now, you come across death. despondency, despair, my damage and destruction sometimes. But Paul says, meet it. Meet it. And foresee those things which are before you. Which are before you. The calling has to do with that which you are conformed day by day into the image of his dear son. That's it. Don't go airy-fairy and say, oh, we've got that before us, and forget the present. Don't look back and forget those things, says Paul, because they're going to hinder you. And so when there's a danger in Christian life to look back, and there's a danger in Christian life even looking forward to the things which are coming to us and blessing. Today, we face the eventualities and the responsibilities of life. And that's what Paul means, the prize. It can be gained today, gained today. I remember when Dinah died. I remember a young man, my help to lead to the Lord, came down to visit me the week after the funeral. And just before he was leaving, he said, well, brother, he's quite raw. He says, well, brother, I'm going to have a word of prayer. That all right? I says, fine, son. You just go ahead. So he prayed a lovely prayer. He spoke about Christ and all that he's accomplished for us. And Christ and all that he was. I said, that's lovely. And I was bowing the head there and listening to him. And suddenly he said this. Well, he's lost Dinah. Ah, he says, he's beginning a new life now, Lord. Teach him he's got a new beginning and he's got to look forward. He's got to live day by day. That's what he says. And he said this. He said, tell him, Lord, just to get on with it. You know, I laughed like you laughed. And I cried. And I thanked him very much indeed. Just to get on with it. Isn't that good? And that's what Paul's saying here. I press. Consecrated. Every energy that he had. It was for Christ. Concentrated. Every effort that he made. It was for Christ. And all these things were secondary around him. And Christ was first. Do you see it? Foresee those things which are before you. Just go on with it. Now, I heard that phrase again, you know. I was down at Dinah's graveside. Forgive me for using these personal illustrations, but a wee man was standing over by the way, and he was mumbling away as if he was saying prayers at the grave. And he made his way round the graveyard, and he came back down again. He came to me and he began to speak to me. Always I try to speak to people, but he spoke first. He said, good morning to you. I said, good morning. He had a wee woolly hat on and pit boots, and he must have just come from work. He had a fleece jacket, and he had his hands in his pocket. And I shook his hand, but it wasn't in his pocket. I shook his hand. And I said, how are you? He says, is this your wife lying here? That's the way he said it. I says, pardon? He says, is this your wife is here? I says, that's right. Sorry. I said, I'm sorry too. I said, but is that your wife? He says, no. That's a relation of mine. I said, oh, I'm sorry. So he began to speak to us. He said, how long were you married? I says, almost 50 years, just 2 months short of it. I never saw the anniversary. You're a lucky man. That's what he said to me. You're a lucky man. I said, no, why would I be lucky? He says, well, my wife's buried up there. We only had 23 years marriage. She died when she was age 54. I took him by the shoulders. I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But you speak the truth, I says. I'm a lucky man. I've been blessed. I've been blessed with a wife whom I loved and who loved us dearly. I've been blessed with a family. I've been blessed with a fellowship because my wife belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you're a religious man. He says, whether you'd be religious or no, you'll just need to get on with it. And I got the phrase again. I said, the Lord must be teaching me something here. When I go to worship, I'll just speak about, you must get on with it. And Paul said that very word. Oh, you must get on with it. You must get on with it. I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. My, it's lovely, isn't it? And I love that hymn, but it says, I am pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I press toward the mark. But Paul would not only say, I want you to forget the things which are behind you. And I want you, that you should foresee the things which are before you. But I want you to fulfill the things which are beyond you, which are beyond you. What did he mean by that? It's the prize of the high calling of God. There are things may be impossible to you. And you've seen that that's so. Even, I don't know what your experience has been in the past or what you went through. Your experience will be different from mine. We're all touched in different ways. We're all blessed in different ways. Isn't it wonderful that at the end of the day, we do have that prize. It's to be with Christ and to be with Christ himself. This one thing I do, my, as a message in itself, this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. One day he's going to receive a prize and reward, and Paul knew that. And that's what he says in 2 Timothy in chapter 4, when he would say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, has laid up for me, and gave me in that day, not to me only, but unto those who love his appearing. You see it? We're all looking, I do pray. We're all looking for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. The things which are beyond us, and how we should fulfill that. When Sergeant Ryan, the saving of Sergeant Ryan, never saw the film, but I heard this one, that when his squadron leader was dying, a man who sent his friends and some of his fellow squad in to save him, he held him in his arms, the squadron leader, Private Ryan, and the squadron leader just said these one last words to him. As he looked into his face, he said, earn it. What did he mean by that? Earn it. There were men who had given their lives to save him. Many who had sacrificed everything, families at home, whatever it may be, came from different backgrounds and different circumstances, and yet they were willing to save this man and to give their life for him. And when I think of the blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who pressed forward to Calvary and set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem, to die for you and to die for me, as if I'm like Strindberg, a great artist who painted the crucifixion of the Christ, and as if Christ were speaking, he said this, all have I given for thee. What hast thou given for me? Earn it. Earn it. Forget those things which are behind. Foresee those things which are before. And fulfill those things which are beyond. I'm looking for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm living, I do pray, in the good of that. But oh, how I'm loving his appearing when he shall come back again. You know, five times over within the Gospel you will find that a record of the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first time that you will find it is in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 8 and verse 40. The birds of the air and the foxes have their holes, but the Son of Man, that's the first time the title is used. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You see it? In all his humility, he'd come all the way from glory just to die for you and to die for me. The last time that you read of the Son of Man is in Revelation chapter 14 and in verse 14, and this is what it says. John in heaven looks upon the clouds and he says, on the cloud was sitting one like the Son of Man. And it says, on his head was a golden crown. Was a golden crown. The one who is going to reign one day and rule. The one who is going to, in all his majesty, receive us into the kingdom of God. Fully. And we shall recognize him face to face with him. Do you know it's recorded five times about the head of Christ in the Gospels. And it's recorded within the New Testament five crowns that the saints are going to receive. Do you know that? The crown of glory given to the shepherds. The crown of life given to the sufferers. And so we could go on. The crown of incorruption to those who are serving. And do you know, according to Revelation chapter 5, chapter 4, you discover that there in heaven itself, the 24 elders surround the throne, and they're giving honour and they're giving thanks to the one who sits upon the throne. And you know what it says? They take the crowns from off their head and they set them at the feet of the throne of God. In his creatorial might, his creatorial power, and go into Revelation chapter 5, and you see the Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but the Lion, the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. My, if you're going to gain a crown, it's going to be a prize. A prize is laying at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you agree with me? Say yes. Hallelujah. What a day that shall be when my Saviour I shall see. Sinners whose love can ne'er forget the wormwood and the gall, go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Paul says from verse 1 to 11, I'm an accountant. I count. He says from verse 12 to verse 16, I'm an athlete. I press toward the mark. Every fibre of his being was put into this, the work and the toil for Christ and serving Christ. At the end, verse 17 to 21, you'll discover this. He's an alien. He's a citizen of heaven. He's an alien here. And one day, the Lord is coming for him. And he's going to be with Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. You're saying that because I'm finishing time. Thank you very much for listening to me. Thanks very much. I do hope to see you on Sunday, Lord willing. And we'll see you then. And once again, we'll speak about this pursuit of the children of God to be with their God. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we do thank thee for thy Son, the Lord Jesus. And deep within our hearts it rises towards thee, and we thank thee for all the blessings. Count your blessings, name them one by one. They're innumerable, Lord. We thank thee for the supply of thy dear hand and all its bounty, for all that we've received in Christ, all that he's accomplished, and all that he has in himself, and how we bow before thee and we worship thee. We thank thee for the children of God here in Wishaw Assembly. We do ask that thy presence may be felt within these meetings and within these services. And as we go home, Lord, help us not to forget. Help us not to forget that we must press forward and we must toil and serve for Christ to give him all the glory and all the honour. Help us to get on with it, Lord. That's all we need to do. And help us, our God, to find that strength. It can only come from thee. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. God bless us now. All the prayers that have been ascended. We do think of Kenny and Rhoda. We thank thee for them. And we'd ask, our God, that truly they may know the presence of the Lord. And they may know something of the healing touch upon them. We would ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Thank you.